Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. It's an amazing passage of scripture that was dealing with the life of Jacob. And in our passage, the Spirit of God reveals to us what led this man Jacob, a man that God loved. What he said, Jacob have I loved. And moved this man to pray. And the Spirit of God recorded that prayer. And I want us to look at it. I'm actually going to be looking in verses, the verses I'm looking at is verses 9 through verse 11 or 12. But I want us to look at verse 1 and kind of work our way up to this. The scripture says, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Now, Jacob is on a journey, and he's on this journey because the Lord instructed him to go. Just turn back page or look over to Genesis 31, verse 3. The scripture says, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Jacob, years before, had left. You know why? Because of the birthright and the blessing that the Lord gave him, rather than Esau, his brother. And the Spirit of God moved upon his mama, tell him, say, you better leave. You go live with Laban, brother, her brother. And now the Lord has told Jacob, he said, I want you to go back to where you're from. And so Genesis 32:1, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Now, in that journey, the scripture says God's angels met him. And all the writers that I read and the wording and everything, they were actually angels, ministering spirits that were sent by God for the protection and the deliverance of Jacob and his family. They to deliver him from any that might oppose him. And so that just like when the Lord had all those angels that were surrounding Elisha and his servant and Elisha prayed and asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant. So he could see, and he saw them. They were surrounded by angels, and previously he couldn't see them, but then he could. God gave him sight. His eyes were holding at first, and he couldn't. Then he did. Now here's Jacob, and he sees the angels of God, and they met him. Psalm 91:11 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." All the mysterious charge of God's protection. I'm absolutely convinced that we're sitting here today and there's more than just us right here. Don't you? I believe that, Neil, don't you? I believe the Lord's here. Two or three are gathered together. I believe he's here. And I believe his angels are here. And he's allowed us to read that. That's the only way we'd know it. How would we know that? So, verse 2, and when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Mahanaim. It means two hosts, or two camps. And it probably refers to the angels that were seen and described as possibly parting That's what the insinuation is, into two groups or two bands, possibly one on one side, one on the other, one in front, one in back. But Jacob saw him. He saw and he said, this is a place of two hosts, two bands. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Whether that refers to the angel of the covenant himself or his ministering spirits, here's what I know: the Lord keeps his own. We are, as men have said, rightly so, men, God's people are invincible until God's ready to call. Nothing happens to them. Everything that happens is by God's good pleasure or ordination. Verse 3, and Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Now, not that he had come there to see his brother. That's not why he was there. He was there because the Lord told him to go back to his country, the land of his fathers. But knowing that Esau was in that part of the country and surely desiring to see his brother and learn of his disposition of mind, moved Jacob to send some messengers to his brother. The Lord had ordered his steps. God had put him exactly where he was. And the scripture says in 4 and 5, and he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there till now. I have oxen and asses, flocks, men servants, women servants. I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. Now, I want us to notice the humility of Jacob's mind. Jacob was favored of the Lord. God had blessed him. God loved him, didn't love his brother. And that right there is one of those things that, but for the grace of God, we'd all do this. Well, I'm one of God's elect. I don't know about those people. But I'm one that God's everlastingly loved. And he doesn't love them. And I'm telling you, pride comes before fall. Brethren, we are what we are by the grace of God, and that's it. And Jacob, in a spirit of humility, and he knew that God had shown him affection, but he knew that there was nothing in him deserving of it. He knew what he was. And when the Lord wrestled with him and asked him, he said, what's your name? He said, my name's Jacob. I'm a cheat, I'm a liar, I'm a conniver, and every believer will say that of himself. That's what I am by nature. I'm proud, I'm arrogant, I think I can handle it, and it is only by the grace of God that God brings us down in ourself and causes us to see. And I'm telling you, the Lord will send that trial, that thorn in the flesh. And we don't want it by nature, but he's going to say to us, as he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. We need to be humbled. We need to be brought down. We don't think we do. We think we got it all, you know, I got this under control. I got this. No. It's good that we've been afflicted, that we can learn of the Lord's statutes. So Jacob, favored of God, he told his servants, he said, you go to say to my elder brother. That's what he said. You say to my Lord. You notice it's, when he said Lord there in 4 and 5, he says, thus speak unto my lowercase L. He didn't refer to him any higher than he was deserving, but that was his older brother. Older brother. He said, you go and say to my elder brother Esau, my Lord, you say unto him, thy servant, Jacob, And surely Jacob is longing to make amends for the past. And he has a spirit of humility when he comes to approach through these messengers his brother. He wanted to inform Esau that he wasn't coming to seek anything. He wasn't going to come ask for anything. He said, "I'm coming that I might find grace in Esau's sight." Jacob desired that harmony and brotherly love might be restored between them. That's the spirit of a believer. We've got those that oppose us, resent us, and stuff. And in ourselves, we deserve it. Don't Mark? We talk about that. But how you doing? Better than I deserve. Jacob, he's wanting there to not be any animosity. I don't want this. What happened by the grace of God, by the will of God, by the purpose of God. But it's no reason for pride and arrogance. Verse 6, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him.'" Now, it'd be absolute pride and arrogance and vanity for us to try to attempt to determine Esau's intent, because the Spirit of God chose to be silent upon that. All they did, they said, "We went and told him what you said, and he's coming to meet you, and he's got 400 guys with him." And whatever the intent, this is what Jacob surmised was his intent. Verse 7, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands." Now, Jacob mused, I'm sure, on what happened years before. I mean, you think back on that, and here's what we know. I said a moment ago, what happened was by the will and purpose of God. God was going to give the birthright and the blessing to Jacob, because that's what God purposed to do. But Jacob still knew what he had done. Somebody said, "Well, I can't figure that out." Well, I may not be able to figure it out either, but that's the way it is, you know. We do many times what we do, and we do it because that's what we wanted to do, and the Lord will take it and turn it for our good. Let me ask you something. What was the difference between Judas denying the Lord and Peter denying the Lord? What was the difference? In themselves, nothing. They both did it. The grace of God. "I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion." So it's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Somebody said, "Well, Peter did what Judas did." I know it. Why didn't he? Because God chose to not judge him with it. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity." Won't charge him with it. Jacob did what he did, and he did it. He lied, came before his father. Came before his father. His father couldn't hardly see. He had skins on his arms, and he had Esau's robe coat on him. His father asked him, he said, "Are you Esau?" "Yeah." "You're truly my son Esau?" "Yes." "Did he lie?" "Yes." And God turned it for good. All things work together. Now, friend, that's mercy. That's compassion. Almighty God does what Almighty God does because that's what he does. And we bow. "You go tell my brother Esau, my elder brother, your servant, I want to come see you. He's coming to see you, and he's bringing 400 guys with him." Man, I'm telling you, I'm sure Jacob thought, I am up a creek. Scripture says, verse 7, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herd and the camels, in two bands, and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. Now, you know, it's easy for us, as we read this account, to blame Jacob for a lack of faith. I mean, how can a man, you know, not trust God instead of resting and trusting in Him? But listen, don't let us ever forget, we're all possessors of that old man. We all struggle. We all disbelieve God. I believe, Lord, help mine unbelief. I believe God. I want to believe God. I trust Him. I want to trust Him. But I see in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. And Jacob was doing just exactly what it, have you ever been afraid and then just say, you know, say, well, I tell you what, okay, I'm done. I'm done being afraid. I'm done. Can you turn it off? If you're afraid, you're afraid. If you're scared, you're scared. Somebody said, well, I tell you what, that's just a lack of faith. No, it's an old man. I'm going to show you what he did. Just a minute. This man that God loved, he was afraid. He was distressed. And he did the best thing he could do. I'm going to divide them up. And if Esau gets one of them, maybe the other will get away. What else am I going to do? This man was loved and called of God. A man that knew that God was not going to leave him. He was not going to... The Lord told him, you go back and I'm going to be with you. He knew that. He knew that. He knew that. He knew that. It was like Peter. When Peter got out of the boat and he got in the water and he saw the wind began to sink. Lord, save me. I'm going to perish. He's going to be like that. Everyone that finds themselves in need. But Jacob, he was afraid. He was a man with like passions, like all of us. But the thing that revealed Jacob's hope for deliverance in the midst of fear, and we're all like this, the Lord will allow us to see ourselves. But what will a believer do? In the midst of the trial and the tribulation, and what would he do? Even in fear, when he was afraid and distressed, he did the only thing he could do. He called upon God. Now there's a difference. A believer in the midst of fear will go to the only source of his hope. And the scripture says in verse 9, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. The first thing he did was called upon the Lord as the covenant God. That's what he said. O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. That's the Lord who revealed himself to Jacob in a vision. Just turn back a few pages. Genesis 28:10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took the stones of that place, put them for his pillows, laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And beholding, the Lord stood above and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it. and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So who was he calling upon? He was calling upon the Lord, who is the covenant God. The one who had made in covenant mercy Jacob to be an object of his affection. He was pleased to show Jacob compassion. He was one of God's elect, according to God's will and purpose, and he called upon the Lord who had promised his father Abraham with an oath that God would surely bless Abraham and his seed, of whom Jacob was one. He said, I will bless you. Turn to Genesis 17, 1 to 7. Genesis 17, verses 1 to 7. When Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, that is, high father, but thy name shall be called Abraham, or father of a great multitude. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in thy generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. So, when we pray, how do we pray? I've entitled this a prayer of faith. When we pray, how do we pray? The Lord says, when you pray, say, our Father. We call upon our Father, who is our covenant God, our Father. We remember that we're calling upon Him who has everlastingly promised to show mercy and compassion to those that He's loved in Christ and raised up together and made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And He did this that in the ages to come, the scripture says in Ephesians, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So back in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob, in a spirit of humbleness before God, he called upon the covenant God. And then he called upon Him and reminded the Lord where he was now. And in trouble, in distress and in fear, was exactly where the Lord told him to go. That's what he says in verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst to me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. What he's saying is, Lord, you told me to come here. You told me to come this way. We always remember that the Lord is the one that leads His people, and we follow Him. We just sang about that. Where He leads, I'll follow. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. They're directed, steps of a good man. He, the shepherd, leads the sheep. And God had told Jacob to go back to the land of his fathers and his family, and he did just exactly what he was instructed to do. Knowing that the Lord leads and orders our steps, we pray to that effect. Lord, you have led me. You told me that, Lord, the steps of a good man, one made so in Christ, are ordered by the Lord. And where I am is where you put me. I know that. And Lord, I'm seeking after your directions. I'm seeking after your leadership. Lord, I'm asking you for help. I'm where you have put me. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So Jacob, in the hour of his desperation, he said, Lord, you told me to go back, and you said that you were going to deal well with me. Lord, I just want to pray to that effect. And then thirdly, Jacob acknowledged his unworthiness concerning all the mercy that God had shown him. This is the verse of Scripture that originally, when I started thinking about this passage of Scripture, this is the verse of Scripture that came to my mind. Verse 10, Genesis 32:10. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. He's praying. He prayed to the God of covenant mercy and grace. He prayed, telling him, Lord, I'm here because you sent me here. And then he said, Lord, I'm not worthy of all the least of your mercies. I think about that. The least of God's mercies are more than we deserve. That's what he said. I don't deserve the very least of your mercies. But is that not the confession of a believer? Is that not the heart of those that think back where the Lord found him? He's praying. He said, I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. Years before, he had passed over the Jordan River. And when he went back, when he went that first time, he said this. John Gill said this. I'll read what he said. He said, talking about Jacob, saying, I came across this Jordan River with nothing more than a staff in my hand. John Gill said he first time he had no friends. He had no money, no servants, no livestock. All he had was a staff. He had a stick. That's all he had. And now, he said, now I'm coming back over here and I've got these two bands. I've got all these people that you've blessed me with. You blessed me with this family. And I'm not worthy. Everything you've given me, all that he had, he possessed. And we know this. Jacob knew it too. God has richly blessed us with the things, the natural things, the earthly things that we have. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful I got a suit. There's people that don't have a suit. They don't have anything. I've got an automobile to drive. I got a house that I can go and, I'm going to go home, Lord willing, I'm going to have something to eat. I don't deserve that. I didn't deserve that. But oh, the spiritual blessings. The blessings of Almighty God, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He chose us in Christ. He adopted us, predestinated us to the adoption of children. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. The Lord has gone to prepare a mansion for us. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I've gone to prepare one for you. And he said, if it wasn't so, he said, I'd have told you. He wasn't saying that just to, how many times has the Lord kept us from ourselves? I think back when the Lord told Peter, talking a while ago about the difference in Peter denying and Judas denying. The Lord told Peter, he said, Peter, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. He didn't pray for Judas. He said, I prayed for you. Can you imagine? Those sweet words, I prayed for you. Almighty God has a covenant people. He's leading and directing them. And he's blessing them. And he's showing mercy to them. Next, the mercy sought by Jacob was according to God's covenant and pleasure to have a people. Verses back in 32, look at verse 11, 12. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Now here's what we've got to remember. This was God's promise to his daddy, grandfather Abraham. He told Abraham, he said, I'm going to make your seed as sands of the sea. Look at the stars, Abraham. Can you count them? That's what you're going to have too, as far as your heritage. And now here's Jacob, and he's thinking, my brother is coming, and he's coming with 400 guys, and I know what I did to him. Lord, you promised that there was going to be a people. Jacob, all those people that he'd get him, if Esau destroys these people, he'll be destroying the people of God's promise to my granddaddy and my daddy and to me. Sense is the same as when God told Abraham concerning God's blessing to Isaac. This is what he said about his daddy. Right here, Isaac. God gave a son to Abraham. The son's name was Isaac. And this is what God said to Abraham about Isaac, Jacob's daddy. My covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at his set time the next year. Remember that? Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, one of a bondwoman, one of a free, but God was going to bless just one. He said in Genesis 21:12, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And knowing that God had told Abraham afterwards, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham obeyed him. Now I'm going to bless you, Abraham, I'm going to bless Isaac. And out of Isaac shall that spiritual seed come. I'm going to show mercy. And Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now I want you to take Isaac and go sacrifice him to me. Hebrews 11:17 to verse 19 is just an amazing passage of scripture. Abraham knew. In Isaac was Christ going to come. In Isaac, the Messiah was going to come through Isaac. Isaac was a young man. Through Isaac, didn't have any kids. The Messiah is coming through your son Isaac. Now, don't you go take him and sacrifice him. Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. What did he do? He put him on that altar. He put him on that altar, and he took that knife and he raised, and that boy was dead. In Abraham's heart, that boy was dead. He offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In Isaac, the Messiah is coming. And God told me to sacrifice him, and I'm going to do it. And I know this, God can raise him up. Now that's faith, to believe God. So Isaac, back in Jacob, he's calling upon the Lord. And he says in that 12th verse, thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. He was believing God. And he was saying back. Robert Hawker said of this, he said, we never pray better than in telling God what God told us. We never pray more consistently is when we say back to the Lord what the Lord said. Lord, you said, you'll never leave me. You'll never say, you said that. Lord, you said, surely I will do you. You said you're going to order my steps. Lord, you said. And you wait on God. Wait on the Lord. Well, I just can't leave it right there. I'm going to end with this. Afterward, Jacob sent the gifts to Esau, and he was left alone after that with the Lord, the man that he wrestled with all night, blessed him by changing his name from Jacob to Israel. I want to just read what happened. His brother did come to him. Look at verse 33. I'm gonna read the first 11 verses, and then I'm gonna be done. This is what happened. He was so fearful. Esau's coming, got 400 guys with him. Jacob said, he's coming to kill me. I deserve it. I'm going to make two bands. Maybe one of them get away. He's prayed and asked God. And he said, God, have mercy. You said, Lord, you said. Genesis 33, 1 to 11. This is the most precious thing. I can't hardly read it without tearing up. Jacob lifted up his eyes. And he looked, and behold, Esau came with him, 400 men. He divided the children unto Leah, Rachel, unto the two handmaids. He put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah, her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times till he came near his brother. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw the women and the children. And he said, who are these with thee? And he said, Esau's asking him. He said, who's all these people with you? He said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, and they and their children, they bowed themselves, and Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my presence at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, and though I have seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. I have all. And he urged him, and he took it. Isn't that the sweetest ending? I mean, what a, you know, that spirit, God blessed it. He blessed that prayer. Blessed what the Lord had put on him to pray. In his greatest distress, my brother gonna kill me because of what I did to him. Man by nature, a huckster, a liar, a cheat, a conniver. Oh, but by the grace of God, a prince with God. But he loved his brother. He loved him. God showed mercy to Jacob, didn't show mercy to Esau, but that gave Jacob no right to treat his brother with anything but respect. I pray God teach us something about our attitude, about prayer, about trust in the Lord, and wait on God. Let God handle it. Let the Lord take care of these things for His glory and our good.